chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. And the title of the message tonight is My Father Planned It All. Go along with the sermon song is what we just sang. And isn't it a blessing to know He's planned it all? I'll tell you, God is so good, and He's always good. I've had a few people say, oh, you know, this is bad, that's bad, and this is not going right, and all these kind of things. And I think, well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited about the fact that God planned it all. And if it's bad, well, He knows, and He's got it all figured out, and He has it under control. Genesis 8, verse 20. I was looking at this, and I got to thinking recently. I don't think I have ever preached on this passage before, and it's kind of an interesting thing that got my attention the other day. The Bible says Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. And verse 22 is where we get our message from. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Father, I thank you that you planned it all, and I thank you that you have everything under control. And I pray you'll show us that tonight from your word. I pray to be clear in scripture. And Lord, we'll rejoice over the things that you teach us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day I was sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden I heard something tapping on the window. And I thought, wow, what in the world is that? I cannot imagine what that noise is. And I thought, what is that noise? I couldn't figure it out. Sure enough, I looked out, and it was something we haven't seen in a long time. Rain. And I almost forgot what that sounded like on the window. And, you know, so there was that rain. Finally, you know, we got some rain. We got a lot of rain, certainly late and not enough as far as the way we kind of think, maybe. But it won't be long, and there will be frost. Of a fall morning. It won't be long, and we'll have the wind and the cold of winter. And maybe there will be, in the next week or two, there might even be snow. You never know. And yeah, that's hard to imagine. But, well, with global warming, anything's possible. And anyway, but, you know, we've had unbelievable heat this summer. We've had, of course, our drought. And all of that. And in last winter, really, it was very mild winter, and everything seems a little bit strange, and yet my father planned it all. You know, by the way, we have had an economy that's been down, and we've had job situations that are not good, and there's a real estate sign about every fourth or fifth house in our neighborhood anyway, and yet my father planned it all. And we have some folks that have health problems, and maybe you sit here tonight and you have health problems and you have some difficulties in your life. Maybe you have some financial needs. Well, let me say this to you tonight. My father planned it all. In our text here, the text in the scripture we read, it is after the flood, and God has opened the door of the ark. In verse 16, it says, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And literally, they go forth to a new world. Literally, everything has changed. Everything is different. And there has been this deluge of rain, and there has been a flood, literally, that covered the whole world. And, you know, for a time, if you'll think about the only living people that were on that ark, the only people that survived that, for a time, it had to be total confusion as they're in this rainstorm that is unbelievable rainstorm. And this storm, there is a confusion of all the seasons. And literally, the seasons are all mixed up. Day and night is all mixed up because day became night, night became day, and nobody could tell which was which because obviously the rain is coming down so hard. Summer became winter, winter became summer, and what a mixed up time that had to be on that ark during the flood that covered the whole world. God said in chapter 9, verse 15, I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God says, I will never again do this thing. I will never again destroy man with a flood. And so if you think about Noah now, they've gotten off the ark and they've had this time of confusion where everything was out of whack. Night and day were mixed up. Literally the seasons were out of balance, and the flood just caused all kinds of chaos to them anyway and how they looked at things. And God said, okay, now he said, I'm going to put everything back in balance. And that's what verse 22 is all about. He said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. There will be a time to plant and there will be a time to reap. He said, cold and heat. There will be a time of cold. There will be a time of heat. There will be a time of summer. There will be a time of winter. He said, there will be a sunrise and there will be a sunset. And God says, I will put everything in balance again so that it is how it's supposed to be. And God says, it shall not cease. That is my plan. My Father planned it. And so fear not at midnight, because morning's coming. How do you know? God said so. That's how I know. Fear not in the rainstorm, because the clouds will clear and it will be sunshiny again. Fear not this winter as you're shivering, and because it will warm up again. God said, I'm going to bring balance after the flood. My Father's plan. That's interesting as you think about the flood. And all this is kind of introduction, then it'll go very fast once we get to the points. But it's very interesting as you read here in verse 21. Go back to Genesis 6, verse 5. Genesis 6 and verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look back at verse 21. It looks like, or I'm sorry, verse 21. It says, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It's almost like the same thing. But I'm going to show you it's not the same thing. In Genesis 6 and verses 5 to 7, God is pronouncing his judgment. And he says in verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And we know, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But God says, I will destroy man. His thoughts are evil, they're only evil continually, and there is God's judgment. But in chapter 8, verse 21, we see something different. Whereas he said in verse 7, I will destroy, notice what he says in verse 21. I will not again curse the ground, neither will I again smite any more everything living. Something happened. We had judgment, and now we have mercy. We had God's judgment so clear. Man, if you're going to do this, if you are going to go against me like this, he said, I will destroy you. And now in chapter 8, verse 21, he says, I want to show you some mercy. It's almost identical. By the way, he still is recognizing that man is wicked from his youth. God still says that. No question. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. But then he says, but I'm not going to do anything like this again. It's amazing. And God, it's almost as if, you put your thoughts together and you think, it's like God is thinking and saying, though I send a flood, man is still sinful from his youth. Though I brought on judgment like this, man is still a sinner. Do you know, in verse 21, he's talking about the ones that were on the ark, because that's all that's left. And even with a flood, man was still going to be sinful from his youth. And we know that, and I talked about that this morning. We're sinners. It seemed like the longer man lived, the longer man sinned. The Bible says men will wax worse and worse the longer everything goes. And if the water of the flood couldn't wash away the rebelliousness of man, if judgment couldn't change man, And if judgment wouldn't change man, God shows mercy, and I believe God shortens man's life. I mean, it's bad enough if we live to be 80, but imagine somebody who lived to be 800. Good night. By the time you're 400, you're in all kinds of trouble, aren't you? And literally, man's life was shortened. But that's not the reason for the mercy. That's not the only act of mercy. That's not, we won't get into all that. But verse 20, here's the change right here, and here's what happened. God says, I will judge man. I will deal with man with my judgment. But the Bible says in verse 20, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And by the way, God had told them to do that. And Noah immediately did that. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And that's when the Lord said, I will not again. God said, I will have mercy on man. I will show mercy to man. As long as there's a sacrifice. And because of that sacrifice, we have God's mercy. Now, the mercy that I want you to see, and there's a lot of mercy and certainly many, many things, but the restoration of God's plan is verse 22. He said, I'm going to have balance on the earth. There's going to be a time to plant, and there's going to be a time to harvest. There's going to be a night, and there's going to be a day. There's going to be summer, there's going to be winter. And I believe what goes along with that, there's going to be good times, there's going to be some tough times. There's going to be mountains, and there's going to be valleys. And it's very clear here that the Father said, this is my plan. And so three things I want to give you about that. Number one is God's prophecy. God's prophecy. Because in verse 22, it says this, while the earth remaineth. And I read that, and I underline the word while. And with that, I see a prophetic statement. And that is something that causes me to almost, it's kind of like you can maybe look out in the southwest and you see the clouds starting to rise up. And maybe as the clouds get a little closer, you start to hear a little rumble of thunder. Because as I read that, I recognize that one of these days, the earth will not remain. I start to understand and realize that God's prophecy is there will be no earth. One day there is an end. The Bible says he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. By the way, that's why we say love not the world. It will pass away. Things which are seen are temporal, 2 Corinthians 4:18. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, 2 Peter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, then there will be no seed time. Do you understand? We won't toil to grow our food. We won't labor to have our increase. There will just be harvest. Then, when we're in heaven with the Lord, there will be no cold and heat. It'll just always be perfect. I think we'll all kind of live in our own bubble because some people think perfect is 50 and others are more reasonable and think it's 72. My wife will want hers to be like 85. And the four seasons will all become one. Day and night will become, as we know from Scripture, eternal day. And that day, when that day comes, then that will be a wonderful, wonderful day. But until then is the key, and that brings me to number two. And by the way, in light of that, do you understand that when that day comes, when the earth is destroyed, when there is no more world and we're with the Lord in the new heaven, the new earth, sorrow and joy becomes all joy? Do you understand that blessings and cursings become eternal blessings? Do you realize that in 1 Corinthians 15, corruption puts on incorruption? Do you realize that mortality becomes immortal? There will be no more death, praise the Lord. Do you know that in Isaiah 35, it says, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. But then there's God's plan. We know what's coming. We know what it's going to be in heaven. And we've talked about it, and it's a wonderful thought, and nobody should fear heaven. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. We know God's prophecy, but number two is God's plan. And that is wrapped around, again, that same little word, while the earth remaineth. While the earth remaineth, here's my plan. There's going to be a balance. That's my plan. You know, we have a lot of Christians today that say, well, you know, if you get saved, God will just always bless you. You'll never have any more problems. You'll never have any more. They're so wrong. That's not God's plan. It never has been God's plan. Now, it will be. It is God's plan for our future. It will be God's plan when the earth is destroyed. But for us today, no. You like the heat? Praise God. Enjoy it because it's going to get cold again. You like daylight? Hallelujah. That's wonderful. But understand, night is going to come. I mean, understand, there is a seed time. There's a time that you plant, which means you have to sweat, which means you have to work, which means you have to till the ground, and you have to prepare the ground. You have to sow the seed. But praise God. And if we could just only have harvest. It doesn't work that way. God said, no, there's going to be a balance. And he says, while the earth remaineth. So as long as this earth is still here, that's what we should expect. That is God's plan. There's no time mentioned, this while the earth remaineth. We don't know when. Bible's very clear. No man knows. There's no prediction. There's no thing we can calculate up, figure out, so we can come up with when that time is. So we don't know. We just know that there's prophecy that indicates that Jesus could come anytime. The rapture could take place anytime. And then there'll be 7 years tribulation. There'll be a 1,000-year millennium. And we understand. Folks, I believe with all my heart, this old earth is gray-haired. Balding quickly. This old earth is arthritic. I believe that. This old earth is tired. And I think every earthquake is a creaking of the bones. Kind of like when I get out of bed in the morning. While the earth remaineth, till then, his plan is balanced. It has been since he said so to Noah, and it will be till the end. Do you understand? Even the world understands this. Even the humanistic, evolutionistic scientist understands this. Do you understand? False science even understands this. They believe this. Do you know the greatest unbeliever on this earth looks for the sun to come up every morning? Expects it. I mean the biggest evolutionist expects the sun to set and probably looks at it and enjoys a sunset. Yeah. The biggest doubter of God on the face of this earth prepares for winter. You know, make sure the furnace works. Why? Because he knows it's going to get cold. How do we know that? Because God said so, that's why. Yeah. By the way, do you know why I know global warming's ridiculous? Because this right here. You're not going to change that. We can't change. Do we somehow think man's going to change what God says? Of course not. I mean, understand, when the sun sets, there is no one on the face of this earth that has any intelligence that thinks somehow the wind blew it out. No, when it sets, they don't panic and say, where'd it go? They just know that hours later, it's going to come back up again. You say, all right. Do you realize that the most atheistic farmer, I'm talking about a guy that would, you know, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to hear this stuff. In the spring, he plants his seed and he's thinking of the harvest that is to come. Yeah. Doesn't even wonder about it. Doesn't even question it. This is automatic. I expect that harvest. Why? Because God has made it so. And he has made it so ever since he made that promise. And we all say, well, amen, you know, boy, that's good and we're excited. And yet, we have a season of trouble. And we rebel against God. We have a season of pain. And we get bitter with God. We have a season of not understanding. And we complain to God. God said, I'm going to always have a balance. I'm going to have a balance until the earth is gone. I'm going to have hot and cold, and I'm going to have seed time and harvest, and I'm going to have summer and winter, and I'm going to have night and day. And you know what, folks? When the night comes, let's understand, God, this is all part of your plan. When the wind blows and the storm hits, let's all understand, God, I am so happy when the sun's shining. And I know that you brought that sun to shine for me. But God, I also want to thank you for the rain and the storm and the trial and the problem. Isn't it amazing? A season of trouble comes. And I mean, atheists understand. Unbelievers understand. They know the sun's coming up in the morning. And I watch Christians so many times say, oh, I don't know if I can make it. I don't see how I can make it through. Listen to me, the sun is coming up. It is coming up. And as sure as you're in a valley, there's a mountain coming. But as sure as you're on the mountaintop, there's a valley ahead. My Father planned it all. Don't give God, don't say, God, you gave us the nice day. The devil gave us a bad day. That's not true. That's not true. We need to learn that God is in control of the whole thing. He's in control of all of it. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Think it not strange. And yet we do. It would be the same as someone saying, Who blew out the sun when the sun sets? No, we know it's coming. We know it'll come back. A couple thoughts about this. First of all, we can't bring summer. Do you understand that? We can't. We have no control. Our carbon just isn't quite that tough yet. We can't bring the summer. We can't cause the sun to come up. Nor can we lower the sun. We have proven very clearly in the last few months that we can't make it rain. We cannot cause the seed to bloom for harvest. We have absolutely no power when storms come. I used to go in my dad's bedroom when a storm, right after the Palm Sunday tornado of 65, I was in first grade, and right after that, a storm had come, and I'd go in my dad's bedroom as if I thought he was going to stop it. In my mind, I used to see him, and I thought this. I thought, my dad can go out there and stop that thing from coming. Truth is, we can't. But I've got news for you, folks. We not only have no power when storms come, we have no power when storms of life come either. He calmed the sea. He also gave peace in the midst of the sea. And I got news for you. He can give peace in the midst of your storm too. Oh, I plead with you tonight. I beg you tonight to understand the balance of God Almighty. And I beg you to understand it does us absolutely no good to question Him about things we have no control over. It's in His hand. You know, we often take the sunrise for granted. We just know it's going to come up. We take sunset for granted. My wife and I, we love to just sit and stare at sunsets. But we take it for granted sometimes. We take for granted falling leaves in the fall. They fall, and then the trees bud in the spring and make brand new leaves. Tonight, in just a little while, the sun will set. It really will. And in the morning, it will rise. You can count on it. But listen, your trouble came and it will go. Just as sure as the sun's going to rise, just as sure as it's going to set, just as sure as winter is going to come, just as sure as all those pretty leaves are going to fall off, just as sure as in the spring they're all going to come back on. You know, we take all that for granted, and yet that first trial, that first problem, that trouble, that financial need, that health issue, it's like, God, what are you doing? God, just I'm just God. I've got a plan for you. Amen. Trust me in that plan. Amen. Does the tree say as the leaf falls, hey, come back up here. Don't leave. No, the tree knows that the leaf is going to fade and that leaf is going to wither and blow away, but it knows in the spring it will get a new leaf. It's called new growth. Have you ever thought that maybe you just need some new growth? Have you ever thought we just need to grow? I remember we rented a house in Bern, Indiana. We started our church. We had a nice house and had a big grapevine, huge grapevine. And a fellow named Gilbert Gerber came, and he came and he pruned that grapevine. And sometimes I thought, man, you are going to kill that thing. And he'd come, but sure enough, every time he pruned that thing, it just got bigger and bigger. I experienced that myself with this grass in front of our house, this thing that Brother Mike Waters and Brother Chase planted. That was just a little thing, and I had no idea it was going to eventually take over the front of our house. And anyway, my wife likes it, so I said, we got to do something, so we trim it back. And I thought, surely I've trimmed it down as low as I can, and surely this will take care. And this year, now it's almost a jungle. You know, sometimes there has to be some cutting away so that we grow. Do you realize it may take winter to make you what you need to be? It may take that trial, that problem. God plans it all just as He does the seasons, night and day. There's a balance in our lives so that we can be what we're supposed to be for Him. Your trouble came, it will go. And then also part of God's plan, I think, you know, we plan for winter already. I mean, as soon as summer started, they started selling winter clothes. It's amazing. I always get a kick out of that. And, you know, we're getting ready, should be anyway, thinking about winter. Farmer plans for harvest. We all have lights, right? You know why? Because of night. Don't we plan for night? Sure we do. Will our unbelief stop the sun from rising in the morning? No. Will our unbelief stop the sun from setting tonight? No. Will your unbelief stop the valley? My Father planned it all. Will the dislike of winter stop the snow from falling? It hadn't yet. Not for me. Huh? Will the dislike of trials stop the trials? Will my anger at trials stop them? Will my anger at other people because of trials, will that stop the trial? How about my bitterness? Would that somehow do away with the trial and the valley and the hurt? No. There's really only one thing that will help us, and that is the one who can give peace in the midst of the storm. It's the one who can give light at midnight. It's the one who can put his arms around me and tell me that, okay, it's midnight, but the morning's coming. It's the one who, as the sun sets, he promises that the sun will rise. It's the one that as we enjoy the summer's warmth, he's the one that will be there during the winter's cold. Oh. Do you think if you're skeptical of sorrow, that somehow is going to stop it? Of course not. We need to plan for these things. How do you do it? I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to get close to God. I'm going to know, okay, I'm on a mountaintop. Hey, things are good. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to know there's a valley coming. I'm going to just keep walking with Him. I'm going to stay close to Him. I'm going to walk with Him. We have people today that will say things like, well, God loves me. He won't allow trouble in my life. Read the book of Job. My Father planned it all. It's all God's plan. My last point, and I'm done, and that's God's promise. I love this. In verse 22, it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." And it shall not cease. Understand, it's not. I don't care what Al Gore says. I don't care what other scientists say. I don't care what they tell you about global warming, how it's going to all be reversed and everything's. Listen to me. Summer will come. Winter will come. Day will come. Night will come. Harvest will come. Cold will come. Heat will come. Planting will come. It'll all come just like God said. Until it doesn't. Jeremiah 33:15. Just about done. Jeremiah 33 and verse 15. This is an awesome truth. Jeremiah 33 and verse 15, it says this: "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness." By the way, that's talking about Jesus Christ. "Will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." That branch is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go down to verse 19, and it says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers." Wait. Do you get it? Do you see it? Wait a minute. If the sun doesn't set, or if the sun doesn't rise, and if the winter doesn't come, or summer doesn't come, then there's not going to be a king to reign upon his throne. Wow. Wait a minute. There will be no coming of Christ to reign. There's not going to be my covenant with David. It'll be broken with David, my servant. He should not have a son to reign upon his throne. There will be no line of succession. There will be no King of Kings and Lord of Lords if the sun doesn't set. By the way, that's how I know the sun's going to set. That's how I know winter is going to come. That's how I know summer's going to come. I say all that to say this: as you put on your coat this winter and you're shivering, praise God, because winter came and the king's coming. When you go home tonight, depending how late it is, and it's and you flip on that light, praise God, it's dark outside because the king's coming. Praise God. Hey, you know what? As the harvest time comes and you go to reap that field, or in the spring when you have to work and you toil and you plant and the sweat is dropping, praise God, you got to do it. Because the king's coming. The king's coming. I mean, when you deal with these things in the day, in the night, in the summer, in the winter, at seed time, at harvest time, prepare for the Son of David to come. Because the very act of night, day, summer, winter, seed time, harvest is the very proof. God says, my covenant's not going to be broken. The king is coming. I close with this. As you tremble during the storm of life, rest assured, the king is coming. Why did all this happen? The king is coming. Why am I going through this? The king is coming. As you weep in your trial, understand it's a night season, but the sun's coming up in the morning. It's a promise that the king is coming. All the trials, all the problems, the winter of life, the dark of a trial, the storm of going through whatever it might be that you're going through tonight, understand this. The very fact that it's going on is proof the king is coming. It's God's promise to you and I. And so, I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust him whatever befall. I sing, for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all. Next time you think you got cheated, next time you think God's not fair, next time you think it just doesn't seem right, understand verse 22. It is right. It is all right. In fact, everything is exactly how it's supposed to be, because my Father planned it all. And He's coming. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's speaking to your heart tonight. You have a decision to make. You say, preacher, please pray for me. God's dealing with me about something. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. God's speaking to your heart. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for this little verse tucked away that we don't think a lot about, and yet it's every day, it's every month, it's every year. Thank you for your promises that you make. And Lord, as the sun comes up in the morning, may we rejoice that it's another day. It's another day verifying the promise that you made. There'd be day, there'd be night. Thank you, Lord, as the winter winds howl. God, it's going to be cold, and it can be a pain, but yet, God, it's such a blessing to know that it's your promise to us that winter will come, and so will summer. And I thank you, God, that in the valleys, in the times of weeping, the times when we feel like we're all alone, God, that we can rejoice knowing that that valley is part of the promise, is part of the balance that you've put in our lives to make us what we ought to be, and that you planned it all. Help us, God, to take it the way we should, to rejoice, to sing, to praise your name, and to trust you during the storms of life. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name.